Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
Angela, how are you doing today?
I am doing really well. You know, I feel good. So,
good. It's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while. So it's been a long road to get here. Yeah.
You've mentioned that a couple times that you've been struggling with some stuff. So I'm glad that's really good to hear.
I'm excited.
Well, I went to the doctors. I had my annual physical, and the doctor said I'm still alive.
You got a heartbeat.
It's a heartbeat and I'm breathing. I think those two are all he was looking for.
Wow. Very low bar these days.
He's a great, he's a friend. He's a fellow parishioner. His wife taught dance to my daughter when she was 3, 4, and 5 years old.
Dude, so, I love that.
So there's been lots of entanglements over the years, and he's a really good guy. Very, very pro-life, very good about that. I think he does natural family planning program of some sort too and stuff. So
good for him.
So yeah. And he's really subtle about how he puts that stuff out there, which is really cool too. So good for him. Hey, our Sunday updates, these are emails we send out every week, and I haven't talked about them for a while, but I just wanted to return to letting the listeners hear this and understand that we're putting out these very deep, themed-oriented emails on the issues, on the life issues, mostly abortion, of course, but they go really deep. We have links in them to get even deeper if you want to. It's so informative. I'm hearing from pro-life leaders all across the country that are praising these emails. And so when I say they're really great, well, that may not mean much, but others are saying it. So I just want you to hear that. And we send them out once a week on Sundays, early in the morning. And so you can just get it in your inbox each week and see what's there and learn more about what you need to know and so forth. And to sign up, all you have to do is go to our webpage, plam.org/newsletters. And if you do that, there's a sign up for this and the whole thing. So real easy to get in on, and we'll start sending you these Sunday updates. I get a lot of great feedback every week when we send them out. So I love to hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're great.
Lots of stuff coming up. Tuesday, February 3rd, 7 p.m., precinct caucuses. Folks, pro-lifers need to show up in force at these precinct caucuses, especially this year. We are, you know, 2023, because of the 2022 election, we ended up with pro-abortion, radical pro-abortion control of the Senate, the House, and the governor's mansion, and we got horrible laws, and we had good laws taken away. It was just nightmarish. And so since then, in 2024, we were able to get a split House where it's an evenly divided number, which has slowed the onslaught of that very terrible stuff from going any further, including an intended constitutional amendment to enshrine radical abortion in our state constitution. It's out there. We've got issues with surrogacy on the plate. We've got issues with assisted suicide on the plate. All that stuff is there. And of course, they stripped pregnancy help centers of funding and all these other things. So those are all available to deal with. So we need to retain the House. We need to take the Senate with pro-life leadership in both. And of course, the governor's mansion. And so the whole thing starts Tuesday with precinct caucuses. And if you'd like to learn more about what it is to be at the precinct caucus, what to do, how to do things, Minnesota Citizens Concern for Life, MCCL, has some great stuff on their webpage. So just go to mccl.org and look for the precinct caucus information, and you can learn all about it. And you can also go to the Minnesota Catholic Conference website, the MCC website, and you can also go to the Minnesota Family Council website. And I believe they all have some variances in emphasis, but all are very pro-life. So, very good to go all of those and take a look and learn what you can do. If you yourself cannot be a delegate to the next level, make sure the people you're voting for to be your representative as a delegate is very pro-life and very good as well. So just things we need to keep an eye on. And then starting February 18th, Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, February 18th, going all the way through March 28th, Palm Sunday is our 40 Days for Life Twin Cities. Again, we'll be at the Mega Planned Parenthood in St. Paul, keeping our prayer vigil out there. We'll start with an opening rally on February 18th in the evening. And then the last 7 days, from Monday through Sunday of those last 7 days, 21st or the 22nd through the 28th, will be our Jericho March, where we will go around in prayer around that whole block where that building is, each day for 7 days. And so join us in that as well. And then, not that we don't have a lot on our calendar, Angela.
Yeah.
But we've got our solemn Good Friday prayer vigil.
Yes.
And Good Friday is on Friday this year, which happens Amazing. To be April 3rd.
Amazing.
April 3rd. And again, this is the all-day vigil. We go from 8:30 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. We've got pastors of various area churches all day long, every half hour throughout the day. Scripture is read. Prayer is sung. Solemn hymns are sung. We have a life-size cross we carry and no signs. We go out there to pray. It's a prayer service at this prayer vigil. So out there all day on Good Friday. So mark your calendars for that as well. And we had a baby saved in Duluth this past week.
Yay.
Yes. Now, this is very special. When our folks, those folks up in Duluth, this is an affiliate for ours. They go out to pray and to sidewalk counsel in Duluth. It's a 1 day a week abortion facility. They can have 17, 18 women coming in for abortions that day. They come in from Wisconsin, they come in from Minnesota, and even surrounding areas beyond that. And they will have as many as 30 pro-abortion clinic, so-called clinic escorts there.
Wow.
Harassing them, interfering with them every which way that they can. Now, the fewest they've had, I think, is a dozen. Most often, it's somewhere between 18 and two dozen.
Wow, that is so intimidating.
Oh, and they are very intimidating. They're very hyped up and very difficult. And despite that, I think this past week there were 18 out there. Despite that, God still got to the heart of that woman, and she decided not to go through with her abortion. So that's why, to me, that's so special. It's just that hostile environment they're dealing with, and still reaching to the women with the truth.
So amazing! Wow, yeah, praise be God. That's incredible.
Well, the big news this past week, well, there's a lot of big news this past week. So the big news this past week to start with here in Minnesota is that Senator Amy Klobuchar, radically pro-abortion woman who's been in the U.S. Senate for a long time now, has decided to run for governor. And as many are saying...
So many expected this, yeah.
Yeah, well, many are saying in the pro-life movement, this is just a Walz third term. The two are very similar in mindsets and policies and persuasions and everything. So, but here's the problem with Amy Klobuchar. Smiling Amy, as she's often called, just enjoys a favoritism in this state that is not understandable sometimes.
No, it is really bizarre. I mean, she's notorious for going through AIDS faster than almost anyone in the Senate, for example. I mean, she's not behind closed doors necessarily even known for being very kind. That's at least, I've seen many reports over the years of that nature. So I'm not sure how we end up with somebody who's, you know, not Minnesota nice and wants to embody the values of our state, if we have any left at this point. I don't know. I'm a little cynical these days, but yeah, it is very weird to me that she would be on the ballot.
And I would venture to guess, and this is just pure guess at this point, but I think it's a fairly educated guess that she's already the leading candidate for governor. Just automatically throwing her name in the ring. She's so well known in the state. So, and of course, having successfully won the U.S. Senate races multiple times over the years, she's got the campaign machinery in place already. So,
Side of the aisle? I mean, I'm getting text messages from Mike Lindell's team and things like that, which
there was one.
Please tell me we have somebody who is a viable candidate that on the side of the
The Republican side, pro-life candidate that's viable.
Candidate that is actually viable and not laughable, like somebody who's a serious contender.
Well, there are probably two or three in the mix of the 10 or 9 or 10 that are currently in the race. One man, and I'm not going to think of his name right now, but he stepped out of the race because of all the turmoil with ICE and what's going on, and he just couldn't handle what the news is reporting with ICE, so he decided to jump out of the race. But you're right. That's why we need to go to our precinct caucuses. We need to find out who these people are. We need to start voting for people who are going to, are going to endorse a candidate that's competent enough to be able to take on, we have to assume, Amy Klobuchar. So
I would even go one further. I would go even further than that. We need people to pray and consider putting their hats in the ring. We need good Catholics to get involved in politics. That is part of how we're going to transform this nation. We need good pro-life Catholics who have a backbone and are not afraid of the machine to get their hands dirty and get more involved than just voting every couple of years. Not saying that that's unimportant, but I think so many of us look at the political machine and we think, I would never want to be a part of that because it can be a really dirty business. But we need people to get their hands dirty and do the hard work to change our culture. We have to do it.
We need statesmen so terribly right now, too.
We do.
Through these difficult times. So absolutely. And, this past week, there were also two special elections to fill House seats. Both went exactly predictably as expected. The new woman who is mayor of St. Paul, of course, gave up her House seat. So that election, I think it went 90-10 for the pro-abortion Democrat. So that wasn't much of a race. And in the other race, which I think includes Maplewood and so forth, the pro-abortion Democrat ran unopposed. Not hard to win a special election when you don't have competition at all. Yeah. So we need to start learning how to do that. And we need to learn how to start converting the Democrats to being pro-life again.
Yeah, we have to. This has to happen in tandem, right? And I think some people get overwhelmed and they don't want to go from being Joe Schmo from like small town city to going right into Congress or the Senate or whatever, House of Representatives. But even if you start small on your local level, join the school board, run to be on the school board, run to be the mayor, run, just do something and get your feet wet in that field. If it means making a positive impact in your direct local community, that's great. And then if maybe you decide, I think I'm ready to try something bigger. I mean, I think we just need people doing it. You know, we need people to be, because it is daunting. Let's be real. I mean, fundraising is no small task. Campaigning, going door to door, it's very vulnerable. And you have to have a lot of grit. So, but we want the right people with grit in there, not the wrong people that have grit. Right. Often, a lot of the times, these political races just come down to people who are willing to put in the work, having nothing to say of whether or not they're good people. It's just people willing to do the hard work.
And just so people understand, I put my actions where my mouth is on a couple occasions because I did run for Congress. So and it's probably a good thing I didn't win, but that's a different story altogether.
Oh, you would have been great, Brian.
Well, Yeah, I probably would have had less effectiveness for saving lives in Congress than I do in the current position I'm in. But still, it's the type of thing we all need to be willing to look at, pray about, discern, and take a shot at. Absolutely, I agree. So, well, another big piece of news out there is there's a new poll that has come out. This is the Marist poll. It comes out every year around the time of the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. It's actually commissioned by the Knights of Columbus. And they released their survey showing that most Americans continue to support restrictions on abortion. They're showing that about 40% of Americans consider themselves pro-life, as opposed to being pro-choice. Yet more than two-thirds continue to support some restrictions on abortion. And so there's still that stronghold that we have, a foothold that we need to start looking at and figuring out how to take better advantage of. But we're showing 57% support limiting elective abortions to no later than the first trimester. Hmm. 63% believe that healthcare providers with religious objections to abortion should not be coerced to conduct or assist in abortion. 88%.
How many? Pardon?
63%.
That's too low.
All these numbers are too low, but it's still very good to see higher numbers. But 88% agree that laws can safeguard both the mother and her preborn baby. There's a big one for you. 32% of pro-choice individuals support abortion access up to birth. So less than a third of those that call themselves pro-choice don't believe in abortion as it's by law in Minnesota right now. And on and on. Just the numbers are just really, really interesting. Oh, 84% support the idea of pregnancy resource centers.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
That's so great. You would never know that because campaigning against pregnancy centers.
Yeah. And on that thought about pregnancy centers, here in Minnesota, there is, it's actually part of the Evangelical Church in America, Minnesota. I'm not sure exactly what their title is here in Minnesota, but it's the Evangelical denomination, not just the kind of the catch-all phrase that often is used for multiple denominations. They have pregnancy resource centers that they run, and the woman that runs the organization just announced this past week that they've gotten an accreditation that is just amazing, and it's just fun to see that they've gotten that out there, and so it's a medical accreditation for ambulatory healthcare centers, and we're going to do some research. I believe that their accreditation is better than the abortion facilities accreditations. How about that? So this could be very significant that they were able to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's huge.
This past week, the United States Supreme Court vacated a Sixth Circuit Court ruling on Title X funds for the state of Tennessee, which affect the whole country. And basically what it is, they vacated this case. What happened is under the Biden administration, the tie to Title X, which is supposed to be family planning money, which is mostly contraceptive junk, birth control stuff, but under that, the Biden administration put a rule in that required that that states must refer patients for abortions in order to receive the Title X funding. So the state sued. These cases take a long time. It ended up before the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, who ruled in favor of the Biden administration that they could do this. But since then, with Trump coming into office, he actually rescinded those rules. And so the court was just basically vacating what already had been changed by the White House. So, and then there's a pro-life high school student group that is petitioning the U.S. Supreme Court after losing at the appellate court level to be able to have in a public school. This is in Noblesville, Indiana, Noblesville School District. And they have a Students for Life of America student group that is not, you know, it's not an official part of the school. They just wanted to have a club. And the school denied them a club because they were being too political in their pro-life beliefs. So they're hoping to get before the U.S. Supreme Court on their free speech rights on that.
That is so crazy to me. Okay, I'm just looking at it from when I was running the Northern Region for Students for Life of America, and multiple times, I mean, I did interviews for local newscasts, things like that, because of public schools who wouldn't allow their students to form student groups there. But almost, I think every single one of them had a gay straight alliance. They all had LGBT groups, all of that stuff. And that's not political. I mean, it's just so crazy. I mean,
and many of them have so-called pro-choice clubs too.
Yes, they do. And not only that, but like you go through a school, even here where I live in a very conservative community, once you get above the fifth grade level, almost every single classroom door, a couple of years ago at the local middle school, we go there for swimming lessons in the summer. Almost every single classroom had a trans flag posted on the door. I mean, it's like it's insane to me. And I can't believe that this went all the way up to the Supreme Court, because this is incredible. I mean, it's just like, I'm just trying to put my shoes, like, what if any of those schools had not capitulated and we would have, like, this is just crazy to me. I can't believe that the school would be willing to go that far and not allow them to do what they have every right to do in a public school that is funded for by taxpayers. It's crazy.
Right. So I hope these high schoolers win. Look forward to that
happening. Absolutely.
Before the U.S. Supreme Court. The Trump FDA is now asking for a pause on a lawsuit over the abortion pill. Okay, and I'll give you some, there's a lot to this, but try and get through it very, very quickly here. First of all, the state of Louisiana has sued the FDA over the administration of the abortion pill since all the regulations, those REMS, got lifted starting in 2020 and then redone in 2023. And so forth. And of course, part of this whole thing is women who have gotten abortion pills, mail order from other states who have been harmed by them. And so that's what the basic of the lawsuit is. And so the Trump administration is claiming now that they are going to do a thorough go through on the abortion pill. Therefore, they would like to have a pause on this lawsuit while they do this review of the safety regulations. Now, this is a review we've been promised for a year that hasn't even started yet. Also, you know, Vice President Vance spoke at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. I was there, and I listened very carefully to what he was saying, because he was talking so pro-life, but then at one point during his talk, somebody shouted out something about the abortion pill, and he actually heard it, and he stopped, and he says, okay, let me address the elephant in the room. And then he didn't really address the abortion pill thing. And here's the thing. When they were running, when Trump and Vance were running in this past election to win, they stated that they would not block the abortion pill. So there's a conflict here. We've got them talking about how pro-life they are and doing some very pro-life things, but at the same time, they seem to be very reticent to deal with the abortion pill, which is the largest form of killing babies in the United States today.
I think they're trying to deflect right now. This is my speculation. They are doing a thorough review of all of the formulas. Have you seen that? They're testing all infant formula for heavy metals and other toxins, right, to improve standards, because moms are having to buy out of Europe for clean, good quality formula because it's so terrible here. Like, this formula that they offer women here is absolutely egregious. So I sort of feel like that's their way of trying to circumvent, at least in the news, to deflect from the reality that they have not addressed this issue. But
And you know, they've also, I mean, the administration, HHS, announced that they were ending Biden's abortion pill mandate for pharmacies. And so again, it seems a bit schizophrenic what we're dealing with, coming out of HHS and the FDA, when it comes to dealing with the abortion pill. On one side, they don't want a state to win a lawsuit about it. And on the other hand, they keep saying they're going to do this deep dive into it, and they haven't even started on it yet. And then they stop this requirement that pharmacies must provide the abortion pill that came from Biden's administration. And I don't know. It's a bit back and forth, and we'll see what happens with it, I guess, on that. There was another announcement at the March for Life that did get me excited. And this one was that the Small Business Administration has opened an active investigation into Planned Parenthood affiliates across the United States. Back during the COVID-19 pandemic, the Small Business Administration opened up forgivable grants. They were actually loans that could be forgiven. So they ended up being grants to companies that continued to stay open and working, small businesses. And Planned Parenthood, in its setup, did not qualify for these loans, yet they took $88 million in these loans across their many affiliates. And then the Biden administration made sure that those were forgiven. So now they're being investigated, and there's a demand that's coming from the administration, it seems, that they want the money back. That would be a hard blow to Planned Parenthood, but it would be a very appropriate one at the minimum.
They defraud the government all the time. They steal our tax dollars all the time.
Well, I believe that too. Yes. Yes.
Well, we've seen it over the years, you know, different affiliates all over the country, Florida, for example. I remember doing a story on that. I mean, it's just nonstop, it seems like.
Yeah. Virginia is going to have a constitutional amendment on their ballot this November. Again, it's one of those horrible ones that's going to enshrine abortion in their state constitution if it wins. And the Virginia Catholic bishops have come out with a statement here and have been working hard on trying to get people to understand to vote against this piece of legislation. So that's happening in Virginia. In Oklahoma, the governor has reissued an executive order prohibiting taxpayer funding of abortion. So again, something very good coming from that end. In Kentucky, the attorney general is now investigating the abortion pill ads being run at gas stations. Sound familiar?
Everywhere.
So the AG in South Dakota had to go after this company that's doing it, and it's the same one. It's Mayday Health, the same outfit. The North Dakota attorney general stepped into this, and I think one other one around the country, and now Kentucky. So all across the country, they're having to deal with this stuff. And in good news, New York has dropped its effort to force religious groups to cover abortions in their insurance policies. Finally, have let go of this thing.
I'm just like those poor little sisters of the poor. I know, my goodness.
And this goes back to 2017, and it's even gone to the U.S. Supreme Court once or twice.
Yes, at least twice. Yes,
three. And it's just like, I don't understand why they keep this dogged. Their love of the killing of children is so great. They act like it is their, can I say, anti-sacrament?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I totally believe that. Yeah.
And so there's just not much thoughtfulness that you would consider normal thoughtfulness going into what they're doing. They just do it, and that's it. That's all the time we have today. Thank you, and God bless you.